Welcome to our service this morning, or tonight. This is night, isn't it? Amen. Getting lost already, aren't we? That's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. Turn to Song of Solomon, chapter 1. I hope I wrote down the right chapter here. Yes. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, are you there? Right after Ecclesiastes. Verse 1, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, I believe ointments is referring to the anointings, amen? Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Now listen, I know everybody here is probably, or most of us, I shouldn't say everybody, most of us have been married or, you know, widowed, whatever it might be, divorced. And you're no longer a virgin physically. But you can commit yourself to God in a marital relationship where you swear off all other gods. And I believe there's a way you can become a virgin spiritually. Do you follow me? You have no other gods before him. He's the only one, right? And because your past is forgiven and forgotten, all that's erased. Thank you, Jesus. Hopefully you followed that. Draw me. That's kind of about the prophecy we had this morning from Pastor Nancy. Draw me, God drawing us into the deeper water, right? We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine, than upright love thee. Now here we have the woman in love with, depending on what translation you have, with either the king or the shepherd that she's in love with. And I believe it's a reference to us being in love with God. Amen. And God being in love with us. That it's a passionate relationship. I will kiss you with the kisses of my mouth. Your love is better than wine. And I believe when you really come in contact with a genuine supernatural love with God, it creates a passion in you for God himself. When you get into that place where it's just you and God, whether it's you got alone in your prayer closet, whether you prayed in tongues for quite a while, whether you come to church service and the Spirit of God just is poured out, there's a place where it becomes just you and God. And it's love coming upon you where nothing matters but God. And His will being accomplished in your life, right? And we've been talking in here about God wanting to draw us into that place of living in His kingdom. And when you live in God's kingdom, you will live in His presence. We don't die to live in the kingdom of God, right? We get born again to live in the kingdom of God. But then we make decisions to obey Him, to seek Him, to worship Him, where His presence so comes on us, we live with God. We dwell with God. And it's been a couple months ago that God spoke to me about living in that kingdom, and He says to move into that place of the glory, the movement of the place of living in the kingdom, you must become a master of the principles that govern that kingdom. You must know how to forgive. You must know how to speak the word. You must be able to control your thoughts and your emotions. Amen? You must be able to decree a thing and not be moved by anything else. You've got to be able to honor God in all situations and praise Him no matter what happens. Let me say that again. You learn a spiritual principle is you praise God when you feel down so His presence can lift you back up. And God is teaching us in these end times, these sayings of Jesus, these spiritual principles that allow us to live by faith, live in love, live in the anointing, right? And I believe that's a calling on us right now. Now, I mentioned this at the outset of service, really after praise and worship, that we in here preach a difficult message to live in 100%. You know, many churches just say, hey, come to church, Know that God loves you. Know He's a good God. Go home, do what you want to do. Come to church next week, and you and God are, you know, hunky-dory. Everything's fine. We don't preach that message. Do you follow me? We preach that God's called us to a deep, abiding relationship. Amen? That we receive Him not just as Savior, but as Lord, and our walking with Him extends beyond Sunday morning or a midweek service. That God's called us really to move into a place of 100% walking with Him all of the time. Now, are any of us doing that? Probably very few. I think there are some people that do that. You follow me? I think there's Heidi Bakers and others. We have a few people in this ministry, I believe, come very close to it. That just walk with God all the time. They're always in the presence of God, always hearing His voice, and I want that. Now, I know He's always with me. The Word says that. I know by faith He's always with me. But there are other times that even though I know He's always with me, I'm not as aware of His presence as I am at other times. Like right now, I'm aware of God's presence. And I want to be in that presence and even much deeper 100% of the time. So we preach a message that if you're not careful, you can get condemned over. You can feel like you're falling short of, oh, you know, I didn't get enough hours in prayer today. I only read 6 chapters. I wanted to read 10. You know, I wanted to pray in tongues 6 hours and only prayed in tongues 4 hours. I know that seems like a ludicrous example, but where the devil's concerned, no matter how hard you try to perform spiritually, he'll always say it wasn't enough. Do you follow me? And there are no scriptures in the Bible I've found that say how many hours you have to pray a day, how many verses you have to read. Do you follow me? How much you have to confess. But I believe we should be moving to the place that it virtually dominates our life and our thinking. But we have jobs to go to. You have families to be involved with, right? Paul even talked about it. The man that's married has got to be concerned about his wife and vice versa. Not to mention the children and the jobs and everything else going on. Grass to be mowed. And I believe God's going to reveal to us in these end times how we can be in His presence, even doing all these tasks all the time. Because the glory's coming, it fixes everything. And God's looking for a people that will invest their lives in going after the glory that He can pour it upon. And here's the thing. God was speaking to me during praise and worship tonight and about, you know, sometimes when you're trying to stretch and reach for the moon, if you only reach, you know, the outer part of the Earth's atmosphere, you feel like you failed. But it's, you don't understand. Most churches are not even reaching to get off the ground. It's all about doing what they can of their own ability. They're not seeking the anointing. They're not seeking the high places. He says, stretch for perfection. Stretch for the moon. You follow me? And don't get beat up when you don't make it all the way. And here's what Paul said. This is the verse he brought to me. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, right? And if I be any way otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto me. And then he says, and I know I've not yet apprehended. Do you follow me? So Paul said, I'm setting a high target that I've not attained to yet. But God keeps showing me the next step to take to try to get to the next notch of elevating myself. And we're not going to water down the message or hold back on what God says is possible just because we're not there yet. And we're not going to beat ourselves up if we haven't attained to it yet. Again, better to aim for perfection and miss it than aim for nothing and hit it. Amen? And so I'm delighted to be with a group of people, amen, in here and via the internet that want all that God has. And I won't be happy, I shouldn't say it, I won't be totally satisfied until no sick people can come around me and not get healed. Do you follow me? That'll ruin every funeral I go to. Unless they're very old and ready to go. Amen? That limbs grow out. People are delivered. That blind eyes open, deaf ears open, the whole works. I want it all the time. And God's called us to it. Because who's our target? I mean, if we were to set out of Scripture a target we're to aim for, that we're to try to direct our lives into being like, what would be our target? Jesus. Scripture makes it clear we're to walk like Him. Be like Him. Believe like Him. In fact, He said, the anointing is on me. The works I do, you can do also. And greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. That's our target. And here's my next question. Has anybody on earth yet attained to the full stature that Jesus walked in? I don't believe so. Now, they may have seen more miracles. Might have seen more people saved while on earth. Do you follow me? Because we got some people that have been doing it for many decades, where Jesus only had 3.5 years. You know, it's estimated. But nobody's walking in the fullness of the love of God and the fullness of stature of the image of Christ yet. Do you follow me? And maybe we won't ever get to that high of a standard. But I'm aiming for it. And what I encourage you to do is aim for the highest. Set your goals for it. Direct your life into it. But then when you're not making it all the way, don't scourge yourself as being unworthy, as not loving God enough, having fallen short of the glory. Do you follow me? The Bible says that we comparing ourselves with others are unwise. Do you follow me? And I believe that. We're not to compare ourselves with each other. But you can know, if you've been here very long, you're aiming for a very high target that most Christians are not aiming for. In fact, how often do you get around other Christians and you start talking about revival and the glory, and I'm like, what? He laying hands on the sick and they recover? Raising the dead? You know, I appreciate Connie. When she first came in here, she had told God before she got here, she said, God, I want to go to a church that believes in raising the dead. And the first time she came in here, I started preaching about raising the dead. Well, praise God. Maybe God knows what you want. And listen, that's a high standard to set, a high target to go after. But I'm glad it works. Do you follow me? I know somebody's glad it worked, a few people, right?
Yeah.
It does happen. And I'm targeting living in the waters, Ezekiel 47, the risen waters to swim in. You know, that's another interesting story since we're videoing tonight. And hopefully we don't lose our feet again. The first time I met BJ, Billie Jean, she was a waitress at Chili's in Frankfurt. And I went in there with Apostle Callahan and Patty. And he had ministered at our church, and we took him out to eat. And Billie Jean is our waitress, and she overhears us talking about God. And she comes up and starts describing to me, hopefully I get the story right, a dream she'd had, right? About a river that was getting higher and higher. And I said, you know, your dream's out of the Bible. It's in Ezekiel 47. Amen, the river of God. And you could have knocked her over with a feather. She was totally... She might as well have pulled up a chair and joined us at our table. She was with us the rest of the night. Are you following me? I don't know if anybody else got served or not, but we got everything we wanted that night. I'm sure my drink was never below half full that night. She was on it. And God was ministering directly into her, and she's been with us now ever since. What's it been? 15 years? 15 years, and she was dating a young, I'll call him a young man. He's a lot younger then, right? They end up getting married. They invite me to do the wedding, and God speaks to her in that. It was just, God's moving. But He's moving in people that really want all that He has. And you may feel like, well, I don't think I've reflected wanting all that He has. Well, do you want to want all He has? Then want the fire of God in you. Ask God, God, give me more fire that I would want more of you. Because we should be to the place we want everything that would hold us back from God totally burned out and eradicated from our lives. All distractions, all anything that could lure us away, any temptation, totally destroyed because of a love God's put in us for Him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm aiming for perfection. How about you? So here we see this passionate relationship in the Song of Solomon representing how we're to love God in these end times. And most people are more afraid of God than they love God. I would venture to say more people go to church out of a fear of hell than a love of God. Do you follow me? And I don't know how it will end up on judgment day in those situations. You didn't love me. You just afraid I'd send you to hell. I'm glad he's the judge, right? Not me. I started reading a book here. Pastor Callahan had recommended it, called Imagine Heaven. Has anybody read Imagine Heaven? And it's a book written about all these people that have had near-death experiences or that have died and gone to heaven. And I'm sure there's even some that just had caught up to heaven. And I'm talking about hundreds, if not thousands, of situations where people have had these heavenly encounters. And he's consolidated all this information into a set of descriptions of heaven. But he's, and I've not read in it very far, so I can't give you too much of a synopsis. But what I've read, he starts off talking about how most people have no comprehension of what heaven is. And because they don't realize how glorious heaven is, because people have gone there, don't want to come back. People that have died and gone to heaven and been sent back, they're not happy about it. And he says, most people don't realize how absolute glorious heaven is. So they have a mindset that heaven is boring. Do you follow me? Oh, we're going to just sit on a cloud and play a harp. Won't be any Mogan David there whatsoever. You know, remember that song way back? And heaven is the most fabulous, exciting place you can ever comprehend. That's what all these experiences relate to. And it's not just from Christians, it's from people that have died around the world in different situations, but have had heavenly encounters. Amen. And so, I believe we can live in heaven now. Now, not in the glorified state, not in the place where there's no temptation or no, where there's no, you know, flesh to deal with. But I'm talking about you can get in that place of dwelling with God where heavenly conditions and His presence overtakes you. Amen? And you almost might as well be in heaven. That's where He's taken His glorious bride, His end-time church, to dwell in that realm of the glory of God. So we started relating last week some of the steps we can take to move into this. Let me review very quickly what we talked about. We won't teach on them tonight. We'll just refer to them. Those mastering the kingdom, those that are targeting, pressing toward the high mark, right? Are not anxious for service stand. They're not just putting their duty to God to go to church. I'm hoping you're not ready for me to wrap it up already. What I'm getting at is a lot of people would be, well, I came to church. That's all I needed to do. Will he ever shut up? He did three closings already. Well, if your heart's really after the word, do five is your attitude. They're not upset over tithing. They're not worried about the flow of service. We don't do that in our church. Isn't it so interesting how we as a church can put the Holy Spirit in a box and tell him how he's got to do it? How he's got to run his church. I mean, really, is this our church or Jesus? Is it to be us running the service or the Holy Spirit? Why do we want to tell him how he's got to move and flow? Amen. You don't know how many people in here we have run off, scared off, because at the beginning or during a service or at the end of service, the Spirit of God says, I want to pray for people for healing. Or deliverance or whatever. And they come up and I pray and the power of God hits them. Next thing you know, they're on the floor. And the eyes get like saucers. We don't do that in our church. Well, they got appealed. Maybe you don't see them healed in your church either. Are we going to tell that? It's not me. I can't do that. I'm not pushing anybody over. It's the Holy Spirit. Are we going to tell him how to run his services? Amen. A few times, you know, not a few times. There's been several times we've had devils manifest in services. And I've seen some really he-men fellows be ready to look for the doors when the devils start talking. Remember Willard when he came in here? And I said, come out of him. And he goes, why do you want him? He's worthless. I thought our sound guy was going to duck under the booth. Amen. But see, the Spirit of God wants to run the show. He wants to do this. He wants to teach us how to flow into that river that takes us into the glory where we dwell in the kingdom. And so here's another one. I went to church. They spoke in tongues in the church. Well, I'm pretty sure the Bible says we should be. They will speak with new tongues. I'm pretty sure the day of Pentecost, the believers prayed in the Holy Ghost. In fact, all through the books of Acts, they were praying in the Holy Ghost, right? Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 says, I pray in tongues more than you all. But you can't do it now because we're modernized. We're civilized. We're so modernized, we'll kill babies once they're born from the womb. Kind of throws that one out the window, doesn't it? How perverted can you get? But people will accept that. They will accept homosexuality. I just saw this week a very well-known minister in this nation has embraced homosexual churches and homosexual doctrine. I mean, if I said the name, you would know exactly who I'm talking about. Has embraced it and said, we've got to change our viewpoints. So it's amazing today in America, people will embrace homosexuality as being mainstream. Do you follow me? Extreme fornication, even pedophilia is becoming very widespread in the nation. How we'll accept witches, witchcraft and demonic activity, you know, in the nation. But if you pray in tongues in a church, they're wild, they're crazy, they're wacko, they're fanatics. No, we're actually aligning our lives with the Word. And to me, that's one of the most amazing. I'm in rambling mode tonight, so y'all bear with me. That's one of the most amazing experiences I can think of that's taking place in the world. You know, I remember when I was young, still am, but younger, that people would try to speak in other languages, you know, to fake it, like try to fake French. And I would try it and it would sound just stupid. Or German. Ah! That's about all I could do. Nein! I couldn't do it. I could not fake a language. Spanish, hang it up. Couldn't do it. But then to have a one-night encounter with God, actually for me it was daytime, where you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and all of a sudden you're giving a fluent language with a totally different set of accents and inflections, and the language would even change at times. You can get several different variations of tongues. In fact, it calls diversities of tongues, right? And to be able to do that with fluidity whenever you want, just to let the Spirit of God pray through you, is one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had in my life. To be able to do that. And then to think of the hundreds of people I've prayed for to receive the baptism. Do you follow me? 35 years. I pray for a lot of people to receive the baptism. And all of a sudden you're praying for them and they break out in tongues. And they're flowing in it. That's an amazing event. And now think worldwide of the millions of people God's baptized in the Holy Spirit. And yet much of Christianity in the world wants to just push it off. Oh, they made that up. You can't make it up. You can't do that yourself. It's too fluidic. It's too supernatural. And it's all over the church of the end times. a Pentecostal experience going through the church, really in the last century, over a century now, where people by the millions had their own supernatural prayer language, and it's still not accepted by the church. And people will come in here, and they'll hear me pray in tongues, or somebody else give a message in tongues or whatever, and they're like, you can't do that in the church. You have to do that in the church. In fact, I'm of the opinion, if you're not doing that in the church, you may not be the church. That's too radical for me. So's the Bible then. This is a radical book. In fact, it says if you believe the word, if you follow Jesus, the world will think you're foolish. The things of the kingdom are foolishness with the world. But too many people are wanting to straddle the fence to look normal but be considered spiritual. So we've replaced in the word what God calls spiritual with Christianese. You follow me? Good deed doing. Or some nice scriptural language. You know, here's one that's been going around that I despise. I might have mentioned this the other day in church. I don't remember. But people will say, I will say to people, how are you doing? I'll say it to Christians. How are you doing today? Better than I deserve. That's become just like a Christian saying, better than I deserve. Well, listen, you may not have been deserving before you got saved, but if you've been saved, God made you deserving. You didn't deserve to be deserving, but God made you deserving. Do you follow me? Not of works, lest any man should boast, but God made you His son, His child. You're now a king's kid. You're deserving. Why? Because it belongs to you. Tonight when I go home, I will go to my refrigerator and get me something out of it. You know why? It's my refrigerator. The stuff in it, I bought, or Nancy gave to me out of her garden. Or from her chickens. That's my stuff in the refrigerator, and I'll give Patty permission to have some as well. Just kidding, just a joke. Amen. It's mine. Guess what? I don't go to the refrigerator and say, I don't deserve to get anything out of here. I'm just not worthy to take anything out. It's mine. Do you follow me? Now, if you come over, you may not deserve it, but I'll give you some anyway. But I'm kind of hitting. Lord, don't let me go goofy tonight. Praise God. But here's the thing. The Word of God says, not me, the Word of God says, you've been made in God's image. You've been made a joint heir with Christ, a son of adoption, given all authority. Now, what is a joint heir? What does that mean? Equal. Equal inheritance. So where there's an equal inheritance, what belonged to God now also belongs to you. And if it already belongs to you, you deserve to access it. And this undeserving mentality, this unworthy mentality, is robbing people of accessing their inheritance. Because how do you access something by faith if you don't believe you deserve it? So I want us to know we are new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Amen. He's made us the head and not the tail, above only, never beneath. More than conquerors. Always causing us to triumph. We can do all things. We now have a right to it. Do you follow me? We've got to get over this unworthy mentality. That's kind of what I was getting at, what I was talking about. We're aiming for a high target, and when you're aiming for a high target and it's impossible to hit, the enemy will try to bring in condemnation and say, you've fallen short. No, it's still yours. The kingdom is still ours. We just receive it by faith, right? So, we don't get worried about the flow of services. That was quite a sidetrack, wasn't it? Amen. So how do we develop mastery or increase understanding to live in God's kingdom? These are some we mentioned last week. We make an effort to persist in consistent application of the principles of faith. Let me restate that. We make sure we're using our faith every day through our day. We make sure we keep pressure on the world system by faith to cause it to conform to what the words that God says we can have. We use our faith for our healing, for our finances, for our marriage, for our children, for our joy, for our assistance, for our protection. And you become a professional faith person. You can use faith in everything you do. Amen. Now, not that you don't do things yourself, but you're going to get God involved in them by faith. Amen. And Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, talks about through faith, all these men of God subdued kingdoms, escaped the mouth of the lion, wrought righteousness, right? Put the devil under their feet is another way to put it. So we maintain faith. Then we learn to trust first in the kingdom. Remember we talked about this last week? We learn to trust first in the kingdom. Give God your first shot to accomplish something. Again, I'm telling you, this entire last few weeks working on that truck, every day out there, using my faith. And the last day was amazing. Let me tell you what happened. I was working on the new Tahoe, taking parts off my old Tahoe. I replaced the brake lines in the back, all the tires, pressure washed the thing like crazy. I had a river of mud flowing down my driveway. New hitch assembly all prepared, ready to go. Transfer the transmission cooler from one to the other, had to replace lines with that. We cleaned the inside. We gutted the entire inside. Do you follow me? To clean it, had Connie and Wanda over there cleaning, and Barry helping me do some work on the rear end. I put it all back in there, put it back together. Everything's fixed. And then I start turning my other Tahoe apart because there's a bunch of spare parts I want. You know, I don't want something to break down. I got to go buy one when I had one right there. So I've got a whole bunch of spare parts I pulled off of it. And that thing looked gutted. Well, it pretty much was. But there were these seats I had to deal with. I didn't want to just, you know, throw them out by the curb. So I said, I'll put them on Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace. And I'll put $50. They were in good shape. $50 on them. As soon as it hit within the first hour, I had at least 50 messages. Everybody said, can you hold them? I say, no, I need these out of here. I'll be there tonight at 7 o'clock. I can't wait that long. First come, first serve. I had people mad because I wouldn't hold them. How do I hold them for 50 people? So finally this guy said, I want to come and get them tonight. I says, well, they may not be here. I've got a lot of people wanting them. He said, I'll be right there. He came and loaded them up. He's looking at the truck. He says, will you sell me the engine? I said, yeah, I'll sell the engine. How much? $50. I sold the seats for $50. Sold the engine for $50. Any other parts you want to buy? He said, how about that mirror? $20. Take the mirror, tire mirrors. So it's $120. And he said, I'll be later this afternoon to pull the engine to take it home with me. Then he texted me. He says, how much for just the whole rest of the truck? Minus everything I pulled off of it and put on the other truck and what I kept with spare parts. Just what was left, what was nothing. I said, I'll take another $100 because the wheels were on it worth that. He said, done. He showed up a couple hours later with a tow truck. Loaded up the whole thing, got it out of there. I got $220 that piece of junk. All the parts off I don't want it for the new Tahoe. All the parts I want for spare parts in the future. And I would have paid them to take it out of there. But and Patty was saying, you won't sell those seats. I said, in Jesus' name, these seats are sold. I don't know how much power was in that declaration. She was inside. I was outside. My phone just kept ding, ding, ding. She was inside like, are you on a group text? Yeah. There's people want those seats. And of course, I put on it. I have other parts too. So I had all these other messages coming forth. The thing is that whole time, I got God involved in the entire operation. It was me and him did all that. And I said, God, I call this Tahoe out of here. Boom, they pay me to come and get it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So we learn how to trust God first. We maintain this awareness. God's always with us, wanting to help. He's got angels right there, can do whatever we need. Amen. Can't get a jar open? That angel can. Amen. Just trust God. It was one of the most interesting stories I ever heard, but former pastor I had was tearing down some stalls out of his barn, and he was going to put sheep pens in. And he torn all this. If you've ever dealt with old barn lumber, it's like iron. You can't drive a nail. If you want to drive a nail, you got to drill a hole in it first. And that's hard to do. It's just, that old barn wood is so hard. He had a big pile of it full of nails he'd piled up. He didn't have any money, but he went and bought a little bit of wood and started building his new sheep stalls. And he said, God, you know, ran out of money, ran out of lumber. He said, God, I can't go any further. I'm out of money, out of lumber. God said, use that old lumber. He said, God, it will take me a week to pull the nails out of it. There's no way. And God didn't answer. So he said, okay, God said, do it, I'll go do it. He started over there and he realized on the way, he was walking to it, and he said, you know, the Word of God says, he hadn't been born again long. The Word of God says he's got angels, ministering angels to help us. He says, angels, I command you to pull all those nails right now. And he got over the lumber and all the nails were driven back out. He was flipping the nails out. Well, praise God, I believe that. How much can we believe for that? Let's get God involved. Right. Worship always. You know, the Bible says we're to be instant in season and out of season. Instant with what? I mean, what are we to be instant with in season, out of season? Now, it's in the context of doing the work of an evangelist. You follow me? Telling people about the Lord. But I believe it's being instant in and out of season to have God involved in your life. What that means is you worship God whether you feel like it or you don't. You praise Him when you're down more than you praise Him when you're up. At least more effort's put into it, because when you're up, it's easy. When you're down, you have to work it. And you become a professional, not just faith person, but a worshiper. Now, this was something I had to learn myself. Because when I was first saved, I was a word person. I spent hours and hours and weeks studying the Word of God. Reading, studying, cross-references in my Strongs. Just the Word. And I'd go to church and I couldn't wait to praise and worship, get over so I could hear the Word. And I just didn't like the music part of it. I didn't want to even hear music much at home. A little bit. But I'd rather put a preaching CD on. I want to hear the Word. But I didn't know the power of praise and worship. I didn't know the spiritual principles that He inhabits the praises of His people. That as we praise Him, He will inhabit our lives through a spiritual application of the Word. And that praise and worship is the Word in operation. See, I wanted to learn the Word because I was learning about how God functioned, how the kingdom flowed. But worship is actually applying what the Word says. And you must become a person that doesn't have down days, because you turn a down day into a worship day. I like what Pastor Rebecca does. She monitors her joy level. She does. And we all should. And when she starts getting a little bit depleted, or maybe a lot depleted on occasion, she says, okay, my tank's getting lower. I need a merry day. M-A-R-Y. Let me explain that for just a second. Do you remember where Mary and Martha, Jesus was coming to their house? And as he was there, you know, Mary was sitting at his feet, but Martha was in the kitchen doing much things, and she finally said, "Send Mary in to help me." Why is she just sitting there? There's work to be done. And Jesus basically said, there's always chores to do, but Mary's chosen the better part to sit at his feet. You follow me? And Pastor Rebecca has an assignment from God of armor bearer, of helps ministry. That's the word I wanted. Thank you. Of meeting the needs of this church. And it requires her many hours. You guys may not be aware, but it's been several years back. Pastor Rebecca was saying to me, she's letting me know, I don't know how to get enough time with God. And I said, just prioritize it, you know. It's easy. Spend time with God. She said, but I've got so much stuff I'm doing. So one day the Holy Spirit prompted me to sit down and write down everything she does that I could think of and how much time it probably takes her to do it a week. And I came up, she's got to work like 70 hours a day to get everything she's got done. I mean, it's some enormous amount. You follow me? Just way more than there's hours in a day. She had taken on assignments. Some of them I even gave her. You follow me? Because I know she got extra time. All this massive amount of work. And we had to talk together about how we can offload stuff, let stuff go, don't even do this. Do you follow me? Because there were so many Martha activities, she didn't have any Mary time. And what I'm saying is there's always stuff to do where you're Martha involved, your Martha side of you, but you need to make sure you get time with Mary activity where you're getting refilled. And what she'll do, she'll monitor her joy level. And when it starts to get low, she'll tell me, Pastor Jack, I need some Mary time. I'm going to take these days off, or I'm not doing anything for 3 days. I'm going to go to the church, just worship God. However long it takes, she's going to get refilled. And I can't be around her when she gets Mary time because she puts the worship music on at about 135 decibels, way beyond jet aircraft or rock concert play. I'm talking about crack the windows level sound. And I got to go through and go, oh, my goodness, put some earmuffs on. But she's getting recharged. How she knows to get recharged. She's worshiping her some God. And to go where we're going, we've got to be people that worship. And even when you don't have time, worship's always on your mind. You're always in an attitude of exalting God. Also, we pray without ceasing. In the Spirit, I'm reviewing somewhat. Well, quite a bit, but we're adding to it. You can pray in the Spirit wherever you're at. You can pray at work. You can pray at home. You can watch a movie and pray in the Spirit. I bind that. You can tell when a Holy Ghost person watches a movie that may be a little bit suspenseful. Don't go in there. Don't go in there. Bind that devil. Bind fear. We're all in and everything. You follow me? Thank you, Jesus. We pray without ceasing in the Spirit. And then pray the interpretations as we get them as well, right? You know, it's a neat thing when you pray in the Spirit, the Bible says you're praying mysteries unto God. You don't even know what you're praying many times. Most of the time you don't. But God's not mocked, whatever you sow, you reap. And as you pray mysteries to God, it comes back as revelation. And I love to pray in the Spirit for a period of time, usually 30 minutes to an hour before I open the Word, because all of a sudden now the Word just flowed off the page. And God starts speaking to you out of that Word. Why? Revelation's coming because you prayed mysteries. And I'm telling you, you want a quantum shift spiritual in your life? Schedule time to pray in the Spirit every day. And don't let anything interrupt it. Amen? Go in the closet, shut the door if you need to. And then we become people that speak the word only. Now, by that, again, I rushed through this last week, so I'll spend just another minute or two tonight. I don't mean you can't speak anything that's not in the Bible. What I'm talking about is you can't speak anything that's not in agreement with the Bible. You're not talking about how you're sick and tired and nothing goes right for you. You're talking about how God's made you prosperous in everything you put your hand to. Do you follow me? And you learn to monitor every word coming out of your mouth. And you can't do that. Now see, here we're getting into things that confuse most Christians. But if you're really going to become a person that masters living in the kingdom, you must learn to do this. You learn to monitor every thought that goes through your brain. You don't spend time in idle mental wandering. Do you follow me? And if you catch yourself there, you'll pull it back and say, wait a minute, what's that got to do with the kingdom? You'll pull it back. Now, again, I'm laying out a high level of targeting. And not many people have attained to that yet, but it is possible. Do you follow me? And I think I do a fairly good job of monitoring all my thoughts. Is what I'm thinking in love? Is it agreeable with the word? Do you follow me? Am I casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God? Evil thoughts, disbelief thoughts, am I casting those down? I attempt to do that. And Patty would do, I'll go through the house a bunch of times going, I cast that down. Nope, nope, no, I don't receive that. Nope. Well, I'm having a spiritual warfare moment right there. It may seem like nothing, but then he's trying to penetrate my defenses of my soul to get me to think on the wrong things, because if you think on it, it'll come out of your mouth. And if it comes out of your mouth, you will act on it. And so we learn to be people that monitor our thoughts to control our speech. Because death and life is in the power of what we say, right? You're the authority over your own life. Now, the next thing we'll add to our list, now that we're getting close to out of time. A person is mastering the kingdom of heaven, living in the kingdom, meditates on the kingdom continuously. By that, what I'm saying is you always try to make sure you're aware of the kingdom of God being around you. You know, one of the things about Imagine Heaven they bring out is that people that have gone to heaven, there's a mental sharpness they immediately develop once they leave the physical body. That all of a sudden you're totally aware of things around you and a mental clarity that's there. And what comes with it is an awareness of how much more real the kingdom of heaven is than this world. It's more real. We tend to think it's less real. You know, the enemy wants to create that mindset. We got to be aware there's a real kingdom around us all the time. How about this one? Always being aware there's angels with you at all times. I don't know about you, but I have not done really well at that one. I forget quite often there's angels around me. And I can call upon them for help. They're ministering angels unto me. Do you follow me? You know, remember when Jesus was in the wilderness at the beginning and he was tempted by the devil and he overcame by the word of God all the temptations of the devil? He'd been fasting for 40 days, no food or water. And it says, then angels came and ministered unto him. Angels came to Jesus and brought him strength, refreshing whatever it was he needed at the time. And so we have a right to the angelic, how can I say, cooperation and involvement in our lives. But you must be aware of it to access it. You know, there's a saying that's gone through the church, and I like this one, where it's talking about maintain an awareness of God all the time, being God aware. You know what I'm talking about? Well, that's part of being connecting mentally to the kingdom of heaven. You're always trying to maintain an awareness of God. And what I've discovered is if you'll maintain an awareness of God, His presence shows up much more often. The more you'll say, God, I know you're here. He said, you're right, here I am. Boom, there's His presence. And often anymore, I'll be driving somewhere, riding somewhere, and I'll just decide to be aware of God. And all of a sudden, here comes the presence of God on wherever I'm at to confirm my awareness of it. Amen? Because everything operates by faith. You start connecting mentally to an awareness of God's presence, His presence will show up. So we become people that meditate the kingdom of God all the time. And you meditate the principles. You become a mutterer, which is another, it's one of the words that are used to define meditating the word, is to mutter. You want to build your faith? Become a mutterer. By His stripes I'm healed. Well, Jesus took stripes from me. They purchased my healing. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. That means sickness has no place in my body. Pain has no place in my body. This body has to line up to the Word of God. I have a right to these. And you just keep talking to yourself. Amen. And psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, anything aligning with the Word, you just keep talking to yourself about it. He always causes me to prosper. I used to say that nothing ever went right in my life. Anything that could go wrong would go wrong, but not anymore, because now I'm more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. I don't just win. I triumphantly win. And you keep speaking the word and you make yourself aware of God's promises all the time. And guess what? As you make yourself aware of the promises, you're making yourself aware of the kingdom. The more you're communing with God through His word, the more His presence shows up in your life. And the more the faith, your faith arises, and you walk in His promises. Hallelujah. We walk in holiness. The next one, if we want to become masters of the kingdom, you got to learn to walk in holiness. Well, I don't need to walk in holiness. God's blood cleansed me of all sin. Now I'm righteous. There's a difference between righteousness and holiness. Now, the word righteous can mean holiness as well. But for my purposes, not I'm separating the two. Righteous is your nature. Holy is your outward manifestation of that nature. When you got saved, you received a new nature on the inside. You became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus internally. Amen. But just like a fruit tree puts down roots to absorb what's in the soil to produce fruit on the outside. We, as trees of righteousness, put down our roots in the Word, in the love of God, to produce outward actions of holiness. Fruit on the outside, love on the outside. And so, you are not going to become a person actually dwelling in the kingdom, living a life of rebellion against the Word. Do you follow me on this? Now, we know that Jesus... Let me ramble for just a minute. Actually, I'm going to teach for a minute, but we're not sure where I'm going. Jesus was the Word made flesh, right? And in fact, He also said, my flesh is the veil of the temple. Or the Word declares that, right? Which means the Word is the veil. You've got to align your life with that Word if you really want to go through that veil. Now, Jesus made you righteous. You have access to the throne. But you want to live over there, you better align the flesh with the Word as well. Because you're not going to be a liar, a fornicator, you follow me, a cheater, unholy in your walk, and think you're going to dwell in the presence of God. It's not going to work. For one thing, I know some things about how the Spirit of God works. Far from everything, you follow me? But I know some things. And I know this from experience and from many years of pastoring. If you're living a life of sin, if you've not yet hardened your heart, the number one thing the Spirit of God is going to talk to you about is that sin. You go to pray, you need to deal with that. Well, God, I'm righteous. No, you need to deal with that. And the only way you get beyond is you harden your heart to the voice of the Spirit saying, no, I'm made righteous. You're telling the Holy Spirit to shut up. Well, then other deceptive voices start coming in, telling you you're okay, and then you start getting way off track. But when you align your life with the Word, the Spirit of God says, hey, you've obeyed me so far. You're aligning your life with what I've said so far. Come on in another notch. Let's learn to live in the presence of God. And deeper and deeper. But when you rebel against it, you bounce against that veil of the Word, and you cannot penetrate living in the glory of God. And I want that. And I want to have life. Whatever the Spirit of God tells me to shift, I shift it. Here's an example of that. Let me try to give you one that you won't think we're major sinners, but you can identify with. In 35 years of marriage, there's probably been more than one or two times I've snapped at Patty. Not bad. Just maybe said something with an edge. Do you want a microphone? See, that's always my comeback. Do you want a microphone? No, don't give me a microphone. I can say what I want to. Maybe I said something wrong or acted in a wrong way. Maybe, you know, she said, mow the grass. I said, I'll get to it next week. You know, and the Spirit of God says, mow it, whatever. I'll go to pray and God will say, I mean, time and time again. Well, the three times this ever happened. And he'll say to me, you need to apologize to your wife. It's not some long conversation about you're not coming into the Holy of Holies until you get it right with your spouse. It's God just says, go make it right with Patty, apologize. Then come back and pray. Has anybody else ever heard that one? You know why? Because that's how the Spirit of God works. He's after holiness in your life. He's saying, you're not going to go deeper until you deal with some other areas that are holding you from being able to go deeper. Now, we don't realize the power of strife, the impact it has on our prayer life. How much unforgiveness can keep you out of the glory. Because if you forgive others, your Father in heaven will forgive you. But if you forgive not your brother, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your transgressions. But you can't go in with that. So God's going to be challenged. See, we think of holiness, oh yes, we don't cheat, we don't steal, we don't lie, we don't murder, we don't fornicate. It goes much deeper than that. It goes into attitudes, motivations, responses, fears. God's saying, I need to get you emptied out of this other stuff the enemy's sown into you so I can get the Word into you at a higher level to get you in that place where the glory can overtake your life. Remember what we talked about in Deuteronomy chapter 28. I love this verse. It says, if we'll obey His voice, all these blessings should come upon you and overtake you. I love the concept of blessings overtaking me. And they do. God has blessed me. You mean you don't have any challenges? I got lots of challenges. I got a lot of things I'm dealing with or working on. But when I take inventory of my life and realize what God's given me, what He's set before me, I am blessed. Amen. And the devil always wants to remind you of the one or two things that aren't lined up how you just how you want them and cause you to lose track of what has gone right. And no matter how much the enemy may attack Patty, she can always say, yes, but I'm married to Pastor Jack. And all is well. What are you laughing about? Well, listen. Let me make a note here. We're out of time. Praise you, Jesus. Just know that God has got us in a flow. And as that prophecy came forth, He's drawing us deeper into the flow. The Spirit of God's on me right now. I can feel it. He's drawing us deeper into a flow where it's not going to be you working your way to it. It's going to be just cooperating with God. Being aware of God. Now, doing your homework, praying in the Spirit, getting in the Word, casting down imaginations, right? Getting rid of distractions. But God's creating in you a hunger and a thirst for the things of the kingdom that's going to cause other things to fall off of you. I went to a garage sale today, and this family had all this fishing tackle in there. And I made some response about, you know, apparently somebody likes fishing. And this woman goes, "I love fishing. I've only been doing it 7 years, but I love fishing." And she's, you know, someone had responded to me, you know, "Do you like to fish?" I said, "I used to love it. I was a fishing addict. But I've been delivered." Praise God. Now, she couldn't understand being delivered because she loved it so much. And there was a time I couldn't have. But now, I don't care if I ever touch another slimy fish. I get them now. I want on a plate, pre-cleaned, cooked, sauteed, you follow me, broiled. I want the thing ready to eat. I could care less if I ever put another lure in the water. And at one time, that dominated my life. And I believe it was a gift of God to take it out of my life to make more room for Him. Do you follow me? I was a sports addict. And now I don't care if I ever watch another game or not. What happened? God threw a gift to give me more time for Him and more focus on Him and get idols out of my life. Has delivered me and has delivered me from any connection, identification with sports. Nothing wrong with fishing. Nothing wrong with sports. But God wants us to learn to live in the kingdom. And it takes time to align your life with the Word to move to that place. Now listen, I can go to a ball game. You want to hear something I did? Somebody offered me some tickets to the Tennessee-Kentucky game this next year. I turned them down. Didn't fit into my schedule. I'm not changing my schedule to just go to a ball game. I can go fishing anytime I want to. I just don't want to. Do you follow me? And what I'm getting is God's pulling these things out of us and putting a hunger for Him into us. It was. I know I've gone over, but y'all bear with me. It's been 10 years ago probably now. I don't remember how long. I loved a deer hunt. I really enjoyed it. They'd eaten all the stuff out of my garden. I was gonna eat the increase out of it. I get my garden somehow or the other. That's right. Now they've been eating my mimosa tree I planted. So I tried to buy a battery charger. I mean a fence charger today to put electric fence around my mimosa tree, where the deer was quit eating it. I'm going to. That Bambi put the nose up, and pow! Blue flame fire. Shh. Touch my tree again. I'd love to get it on film. Snap. One of them weed burner fences where the weed pops, lays against it, and it burns it in half, you know, yeah. Pops it. That's what I want. Anyway, I love deer hunting. And I've mentioned this before, but it's been 10 years or so ago. I got up early one morning, deer season, bow season. Drove out at night, you know, all my stuff, all prepared, shampooed with a scent-removing shampoo and everything. And anyway, I'm in a tree stand at daylight, waiting for Bambi to come by. And it was cold. And I'm up there, you know, it's cold. I want some sleep. And I was like, what am I doing? I could be home. See, it's hard to read the Bible up in a tree stand because the deer don't like those pages for turning, you know. And I could be home in my recliner where it's warm under a blanket reading the Word. I thought, you know what? That's a much better choice. I climbed out of the deer stand, went back in the car, drove home. Gotten the Word. I've never been deer hunting since. And don't care if I ever go again. But God taking stuff out of our lives to make room for more of Him. Well, I don't want to give up, dear hunting. You don't have to. You just have to want God. God will take care of the other stuff. Amen. Well, Father, I thank you in this church. There are none sick. There are not even any in pain of any sort. None with any infirmities. None with any allergies. I thank you here. There are none that are lacking in any fashion. None in confusion. I bind confusion of every form in Jesus' name. I thank you, none in fear of any situation, not fear of man or fear of the devil, not fear of failure, not fear of failing God. We bind that as well in Jesus' name. And I thank each one here has joy released from the kingdom of heaven. A supernatural peace comes on each one here, Lord God. They know they're right with God. And God's going to meet every need they have in abundance to the overflow. Every marriage is blessed, every family is blessed, and all of our children are serving God. All of our family are saved in Jesus' name. And the things that seem impossible, Lord God, we speak those mountains moved out of the way, and you give us rest from our enemies. Thank you, Jesus. Spirit of God, give each one divine appointments through the week. A heart to pray, a heart to know you. Let them have encounters with you. I decree right now, as Paul said, we all come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I agree, Lord God, for divine appointments and divine encounters, visions, visitations, trances, and supernatural dreams. And then we know the difference between an Ishmael and an Isaac occurrence spiritually in our lives. That we develop mastery of the principles of the kingdom of heaven. And each one here learns to control every thought that moves through their mind. And they deal with it appropriately. I think in this church there's a perfect unity. A unity of faith. A unity produced by love. And there's no strife or division whatsoever in this church. And we decree every seat filled with Spirit of God, Holy Ghost revivalists. Who desire the vision manifest in their life. They want nothing more than God. And to be in God's perfect will. And I speak every seat filled. People coming in, our sons and daughters from the north, south, east, and west. Now in Jesus' name. Our services are filled to capacity. Multiple services daily. And all of our future facilities are already prepared. Thank you, Jesus. You supply all of our need according to riches and glory in overflow. We have abundance now. In the name of Jesus. And every member that's sown seed, that is tithe, has an overflowing bounty coming to their hands. Thank you for it. Strength for Pastor Rebecca. Wisdom for all the ministers, for each one here. We decree it in Jesus' name. Amen.